Yesterday, the U.S. Department of Justice filed suit against the city of Ferguson, Missouri. The federal government claims Ferguson officials reneged on a deal to institute police reforms in the aftermath of the 2014 shooting death of Michael Brown by Ferguson police. Attorney General Loretta Lynch says the force routinely exhibits racial bias against African Americans. It's a cautionary tale for law enforcement agencies across the country, with ripple effects felt here in mid-Michigan. Current State's Kevin Lavery joins me now to explain. Kevin, talk about the response here in our community.
Mark, the Michigan State University Police Department has been paying some attention to issues of bias and discrimination. MSU is working with some community partners to identify and prevent incidences of bias that could cause harm if left unchecked. So I spoke with Floreen McLaughlin Taylor. She is the MSU police sergeant who's coordinating the department's inclusion and anti-bias unit. And I asked her if this initiative is voluntary or in response to a specific incident.
It's definitely a proactive measure. We have a good relationship with the university community. However, we want to build upon that relationship. But then we realize, too, that there are some students here at the university who feel fear. They don't feel safe. And so we want to go full circle in terms of closing that gap and making certain that their fears and concerns are heard as well.
Are we talking mostly minority students, students of color, students who may feel they are on sort of the fringes of, quote, mainstream society? Where is it coming from?
I believe this is coming from students that may have language barriers, students of color, because there have been some incidences within the residence halls where there have been derogatory words written on whiteboards outside the doors on the floor. And in those circumstances, we do respond to those. The housing office, the residence hall staff does refer those to our department. But what had not been happening in the past always is where there was someone following up with those students to let them know why maybe this particular incident was not a crime. So if a person states a derogatory word, well, that within itself is not necessarily a crime. But if that person makes a threat against that person, or they causes property damage because of that person's race or height, weight, whatever it might be, then that's something that we would take a police report on, and it would be a bias incident.
How would a typical bias complaint be investigated? And I'm not asking you to reveal the specifics of any one investigation, but what's really in general the protocol for that?
Well, it would be like any other incident in terms of our response. The student would, if they contacted a resident assistant and stated something that had happened, such as what I just described, that person would report it to the police department. We would respond, talk with the student, take the information, and make a determination whether or not it was a crime.
There is a training element involved. How is that structured?
What we're doing is, and we're having individuals from within the university, because this is a collaborative measure in terms of working with the community, and we have Dr. Nicole Buchanan from the psychology department, and also Paulette Granberry Russell, who is senior advisor to the president. The two of them are providing these implicit and explicit biases trainings for our department. But then part of my responsibility is to organize training not only internally but externally. And so we've reached out to local police agencies because we have a lot of students that live within the East Lansing, Meridian Township, Okemos area, Bath Township. And so we've invited those departments as well to join us, as well as civilians throughout the university.
So this was by invitation. This was not a mandatory situation. This is voluntary on the part of the participants through an invitation from the MSU Police Department.
In terms of the community, yes. In terms of our officers, all of our officers will be going through this training, but it is an invitation to the other agencies.
We're talking with Sergeant Floreen McLaughlin Taylor. She is leading the MSU Anti-Bias and Inclusion Unit of the MSU Police Department. We talk about a term called implicit bias, something that is an unconscious notion or behavior or thought pattern. You can regulate someone's behavior, that's why we have the law, but you can't regulate their emotions or their beliefs.
That's absolutely correct. But the whole idea behind this training is it's not going to be just this one time. We can't do it in an hour and a half. This is going to be continuous. It's to make people aware of what those unconscious biases are that they may have, so that when they come into contact or interact, they can be more aware of what they are and don't, for instance, insult someone unknowingly.
And where do you think the pursuit of curbing bias infringes on free speech? I can see this being a very gray area.
Well, of course, this is a university, and so everyone has free speech, and we want them to be free in what they state. We're not trying to infringe upon anyone's rights, but what we want to do is to educate our community. We're a university, and that's what we do, and we're a police department, and we want to be proactive in that way of helping to educate not only our police department, but our community.
What would a training scenario look like in terms of running some sort of a demonstration of when a police officer encounters a situation of bias in the community, or when a police officer is trying to get a handle on their own unconscious bias?
Well, you're absolutely correct. It goes both ways, where there's individuals who have biases, and then you have police officers that may have them as well. And you have individuals who may have a bias against the police just because of the uniform. And that may come, which came up in one of our training sessions, where one of our officers brought up an example where they stopped the individual for a traffic violation, and the person asked them, well, why did you stop me? Or you stopped me just because I was, you know, whatever the race was at that time, but it's because of their culture. So they're indicating that that's the reason why they were stopped. And in that case, you let the person know, indicate that, no, I'm sorry, you feel this way, but the reason I stopped you is because you were going 15 miles over the speed limit, and you go from there. In that particular case, the officer explained to the person on the traffic stop why they were being stopped, and indicated that after that exchange, things were much better in terms of that person understanding.
I've been doing some reading about anti-bias training among police departments across the country, notably in cities like Philadelphia and Dallas and New York City. Lots of places around the country are trying this. Some officers were quoted saying that your gut instinct often takes over in a situation. Sometimes it's difficult for an officer, as they say, to put anti-bias thoughts in the forefront of their head when they're making a quick decision or making a fast response to something. And they feel that maybe anti-bias training, that slow down and let's consider this, may get in the way of what their experience tells them to do.
Well, I don't doubt that would happen. That could be with anyone outside of being an officer in terms of coming into contact with someone. And when you see someone, in terms of microaggressions that take place, if they were from a different culture and asking them, where are you from? And they tell you that I'm from San Diego or wherever, and they say, no, where are you from? When the person might be an Asian person trying to explain that they're from the U.S. So those things do happen. But again, that's the reason why we're having the training. I don't think in terms of getting in the way and so forth, if a person is committing a crime, of course they have to be arrested for that crime. Our main purpose is to make certain that we keep our community safe. And so we're going to be making arrests. But again, in terms of just dealing with people on a daily basis and so forth, having this training, and if it's consistent training, it does help you to think about or to think before you act.
But again, it sounds like the impetus will be on you and the force to decide on the spot whether we make an arrest or we have a conversation.
Well, you can't always have a conversation on the roadway. And that's why this is open to everyone, to the community, in terms of training them as well, because it's not just the police and it's not just on the law enforcement area. It's up to everyone. It's important for the community to understand why police do what they do and understand. We plan on doing some training in terms of inviting individuals to our department in terms of a tour, taking them out to do some simulations in terms of our Milo program, shoot, don't shoot, those types of things. And hopefully those types of activities with the community will help them to understand.
We're talking with Sergeant Florine McLaughlin-Taylor of the MSU Police Department. She is leading the department's anti-bias and inclusion units. We talked about how you can't regulate behavior or emotion, But values are often handed down through families, and your worldview is shaped when you're a child. Do you or your team members here ever encounter people who resent what they perceive as the, quote, correct worldview being imposed on them in an effort to reform them and let them see the light?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, you're absolutely correct in terms of what people are raised in terms of their communities, their experiences that they've had within their communities with law enforcement or others. All of that plays a role. And as one of our facilitators stated, I like the analogy that she gave in terms of, you know, we're rained on, you know, from day one. We may try to teach family members, our children, and so forth, how to behave and how to react. But because you get so much coming at you through the media, through people that you interact with in the classroom, in elementary school, I mean, it just comes at you in all different forms. So, you know, I like to go back to, you know, just the old saying in terms of treating people the way that you would want to be treated. I mean, and if we all remember to just do that, I don't think we would have any problems at all. But with social media and everything that's going on, we're constantly bombarded.
This training has actually been going on behind the scenes for a while, since December. Are we already seeing it being used? Are we seeing real-world scenarios in which this training meshes?
Well, this is just the beginning. It started in December, but we're going to be doing follow-up because some of the things that we want to talk about is what we discussed in some of the questions you asked me earlier. When officers are confronted on the street in terms of individuals perceiving that they've been stopped for one reason other than because of a crime or a traffic violation, how is it that officers respond? And that's what we're looking for the facilitators also to talk about, us asking them questions. You know, what is it that we should do? You know, how can we de-escalate situations? So we're looking for assistance in that way too, because you can't discuss this on the roadway. It's not a safe place. If people have issues with receiving a citation, that's when you have to take it to the courts within that time frame, and it's the court that makes the decision, not us on the roadway.
Sergeant Florian McLaughlin-Taylor is with the Michigan State University Police Department. She is leading the department's new anti-bias and inclusion unit. Sergeant McLaughlin-Taylor, thanks so much for your time on this.
Thank you.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.